You're listening to Vatican Radio. Stirring the waters, making the impossible possible is the theme for an event taking place here in the Vatican on Wednesday to mark International Women's Day. The annual Voices of Faith event is jointly organised this year by the Fidel Gertz Foundation and by Jesuit Refugee Services. It features the voices of Catholic women working to build leadership for justice and peacemaking in many different countries and cultural contexts. Among those taking part this year is American sister Simone Campbell, better known as the Nun on the Bus. A member of the Benedictine-inspired Sisters of Social Service, she's a lawyer serving as executive director of NETWORK, the Washington, D.C.-based National Catholic Social Justice Lobby. In 2012, she and some of the sisters in her community toured parts of the United States on a bus to draw attention to their work with the poor and to protest planned aid cuts. She talked to me about her work and about her message for this International Women's Day.
Well, our community, we're called the Society of Apostolic Life. There's only 11 Pontifical Societies of Apostolic Life in the world of women, and we're one of them. And we were founded in 1923 in Budapest, Hungary, and we were really founded in response to Rerum Novarum, the social teaching of the Church of Leo XIII, and we were founded to do the Catholic social mission. So we were all about making the Church's teaching alive in our ministries. So we were founded in 23 in Budapest and 1926 in Los Angeles, and we've been there ever since, engaged in mostly working with low-income people, folks in poverty, struggling, but also working at a legislative level. So our community founded a lobby for the state of California. It's a lobby is to influence the legislation for the state. And then 12 years ago, then I got hired to go to NETWORK. So I work now in Washington, D.C., but it's all in keeping with our mission, doing Catholic social teaching.
You're a lawyer by profession, aren't
you? I am. Most of my sisters are social workers, but I'm not patient enough to be a good social worker. So I discovered that I really wanted to do policy, and being a lawyer was really a prerequisite to being effective. But then I discovered in law school that I liked practicing law, so I did that for 18 years in Oakland, serving the working poor.
You hit the news headlines in a big way, didn't you, with the nun's letter around the time of Obamacare. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, our organization, NETWORK, was founded in 1972, opened our doors in 73, and from the beginning, we'd worked on healthcare reform. I mean, it's shocking that in the richest nation on earth, we cannot provide health care to everybody in our nation. It's just willful disregard. So we've worked on this issue forever. So finally, when the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was coming to the floor, we had worked really hard on it, both in the House and Senate, in our Congress. And it was coming up for a vote, and I was thinking, what could we do? What could we do? And so I wrote a letter that the leaders of 59 Catholic congregations in the United States, they signed. And many of the sisters have run hospitals in the United States. And so they knew what healthcare was about and what needed to be said in support of the Affordable Care Act. So I wrote the letter, sent it out for signatures to mostly my friends, and asked them to share it around. And while it was out to be signed, our bishops' conference came out opposing the Affordable Care Act. And it was such a shock. And it was because the bishops got bad information from their staff. Their staff was highly aligned with the far right in our nation and did not want President Obama to have a victory. And so they told the bishops that there was federal funding of abortion in the Affordable Care Act. And there's not. Two courts have said no, that there is no federal funding of abortion. So the bishops were wrong. Their staff was wrong. But since I had read the bill, I knew they were wrong. And so the sisters, I was so proud of my sisters that even though the bishops came out opposing it, the sisters stood up and said no.
But there's very much this idea that the sisters and the bishops are somehow in conflict. That still persists, doesn't it?
Oh, it still persists. Though things are better. Praise God for Pope Francis. But, I mean, there's dioceses where I can't speak on church property. But you know what the good news is? Here's the thing. It's all about the spiritual life, the spiritual journey. And so because we can't speak on church property, what happens? is we end up going and we're becoming much more of an interfaith ecumenical reality because, you know, I speak to the Unitarians and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and we all gather together. So the Spirit is alive and well and making mischief. And the mischief is to spread our message much broader than if we were just welcomed into all the Catholic churches. I don't think we would have, you know, would have spread so much. And so it really is a power.
And yet in many parts of the Catholic community, your stance is seen as directly opposing Catholic teaching, isn't it? On abortion, on contraception. How do you deal with this?
Well, they're wrong. Okay, here's the thing. Things are hurtful. Criticisms are hurtful if they're true, if there's some truth in it. And I mean, that's the essence of the contemplative life, is when something hurts you, then, is to ponder it, to hold it in prayer until you know the truth of it, to unhook the barb. But, you know, people come after me saying, you know, I'm pro-abortion, all this stuff. That's nuts. It's not true. So it doesn't hurt. It's frustrating, but it doesn't hurt. The thing is, though, that in our nation, it had gotten so focused only on birth. People have lost sight of what pro-life is. And that's the piece that I'm about, is all of life and not just birth. And because it's so politicized, it does make some people mad. But probably because I'm a lawyer, or I'm a lawyer because it doesn't bother me. I don't know. But it helps me fight those kinds of struggles and try to open up people's minds.
This distinction between the religious and the political is a very fine line, isn't it? I mean, even the founder of your own congregation, the sisters founded in Hungary, as you said, the founder became a member of parliament, didn't she?
Right.
How do you separate, if you like, or how do you avoid the issues that you're working so hard on? How do you avoid them from becoming very politicized in the atmosphere that is the United States today?
Oh, they're extremely politicized, but they have to be. I mean, the gospel lives in the midst of the struggle. And if we absent ourselves from the struggle, then I think we absent ourselves from the gospel. Jesus did not avoid tough questions, difficult situations. Jesus always walked towards those who suffered. And Pope Francis is great because he's got all these Joy of the Gospel, Evangelium Gaudium, I don't know the Latin.
Evangelium Gaudium.
Yes. He's got all this about politicians and how we need politicians that are engaged in caring for all of life. And that's what we're about. And so one of the things that we do is minister to the politicians and engage and nourish their journey and their commitment. But we also advocate deeply for the needs of those who get left out. If we're not a voice for them, who will be? I'll tell you, in Washington, D.C., where I work, they get left out of consideration a lot. That's why we have to be there.
What gives you most hope at the present time in the work that you're doing?
There are so many people coming together. I just left Oregon, rural Oregon, which, if you know, the United States is way out in the boondocks. It's really rural. And I always thought it was really a kind of a conservative, and I hate to admit my prejudice, but what I discovered was all these people coming together wanting to make our community better and quite worried about what's happening politically and the craziness that's happening in our nation right now. And I took great heart that people weren't just ignoring it or hiding or just being depressed and isolated. They had a sold-out venue for 350 people in a little tiny Bend, Oregon. It was like amazing. And so I think that waking up and coming together is really what will see us through.
You founded also the campaign known as the Nuns on the Bus, didn't you?
Yes.
What do you see the role of that organization today?
Well, it's part of our organization network. It's one of our campaigns, and it happened because the Vatican named us as being a bad influence on Catholic sisters because we work too much on the issues of poverty. Well, since that's our mission, I sort of took it like a badge of honor. I mean, we made them nervous and because we work too much on the issues of poverty. How perfect is that?
You were described as holding radical feminist views.
I know, incompatible with the gospel. I mean, that's just too funny. I mean, but, you know, if you really read the gospel and you see what Mary Magdalene was up to and Martha and Mary and the women at the cross and all of the women that go to the tomb, I mean, they're always making mischief. So I'm just in keeping with that tradition. But the bus got started because of the notoriety we had because of the Vatican. So I say, we should send the Vatican a thank you note. Because what happened with the bus was we went around and pushed back against a budget a federal budget that Paul Ryan, who's the leader of the House of Representatives in our Congress, that he was proposing that would have decimated services to the working poor. I mean, it would just have been terrible for him. And what he wanted to do was to cut all these programs so he could give tax breaks to the wealthy. That's not in keeping with the gospel. So we went on the road, but there was this explosion of notoriety. And it's just amazing because it now lives in people's imagination because it really costs a lot of money to run a bus. So we only do it a couple of weeks a year, but we've done 5 trips now. But
the work continues,
the work
right?
continues. The work continues because it's in people's imagination. So I go places and people, oh, it's so wonderful to meet you, Sister Simone. How nice to meet you. But where's your bus? Where's your bus? And the joy of the bus is that when it is running, then everybody who commits to working on our issues, like the most recently was to reweave the fabric of our society, you know, talk to people who think differently, come together. And if you committed to it, then you got to sign the bus in permanent ink so that it was not just nuns on the bus, but it's everybody on the bus. And that has just become magic.
You didn't get Pope Francis to sign it when he was in the States because you got to meet him, didn't you?
I didn't get to meet him. I got to be in the Congress when Pope Francis addressed our Congress. But Vice President Biden gave Pope Francis from us a tablet that had our Nuns on the Bus stories and a little bit about what the bus was about. So I know he got that. So he at least knows that this mischief-making bus is out there.
What is your message as you come here to Rome for International Women's Day?
Well, I'm hoping that by being here, it's saying that my vocation is to take the gospel to where it wouldn't be otherwise. And I, as a woman, am a leader. And I am impacting the church, even if the church, the institution, isn't aware of it. And what I am encouraging is that all of us women together engage in the leadership that our church is hungry for. We need to continue to make change so that there is room for all, so that there is not just this rigid rule focus, but rather focus on the spiritual deep reality of the gospel. Our world is hungry for the fact that love is at the heart of really conversion and community. And I think we as women, we have a tendency to be a little stronger, a little tougher on that.
Are you seeing a changing role of women in the church in the U.S. today?
It's coming. In fact, most of the leadership in parishes is exercised by women. So I think we need eyes to see the work that is being done. And once we see that, then it's not such a scary thing to acknowledge it institutionally. It's good news. Good news. And if Jesus could indicate that women and men were together in this and appear first to the women after the resurrection, and I have to say the men didn't quite get it. It seems like the guys are a little slow on some things. So I'm hoping I can encourage women to step up into their role.